This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. All praise is due to Allah and we praise Him and continue to praise Him while recognizing we can never fully praise Him. And we turn to Allah seeking protection from the evil whispers within ourselves and from the consequences of our evil deeds. For whomever Allah guides, this is a great gift that no one can take away, and whomever Allah leaves without guidance, no one can ever guide them. And we testify that no one is worthy of worship but Allah and Allah alone, without any partners, the true supreme king. And that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was in truth his prophet and his servant and his messenger. After welcoming my brothers and sisters to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal on this blessed day, in this blessed month, and reminding myself anew with the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to live a life conscious of Him, watchful of Him, loving of Him, consistently dutiful to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the month of forgiveness, and this is the month of taqwa. And we said taqwa is the summary of your relationship with Allah in the past. And we said of the signs that you are bettering your relationship with Allah, one of the signs, in addition to you being diligently present at your appointments with Him in ritual devotion, in addition to you being experiencing that spiritual connection, of the signs that your relationships with people are being bettered. And a part of that is you being, as we said, more forgiving of others when they infringe on your rights, when they trespass against you, when they violate you. So in an effort to bring us there, we spoke about this and it should have been done before Ramadan, but Ramadan absolutely cannot end without us getting through it if we haven't already. Forgiving others that have wronged us. How can we do that? I want to offer you two thoughts, two reasons to forgive others, to help you forgive others. The first of them may really surprise you. The first reason I want to give you to forgive others is the fact that Allah never said that you have to. You may think, how can that encourage me to forgive someone if I don't have to? That is actually part of the genius tashri'ah, legislation, the wise laws of Islam, is that they tell you it's your right whether you forgive or not. Because if I felt like I had to forgive and turn the other cheek when I get slapped and I had no say in the matter, Allah knows we would be less likely to do it. We would be rebellious against that. Because Allah created us as moral creatures. We know justice, we like justice, we expect justice, especially when it's justice for us. And so to say injustice, just live with it, just forgive it, just act like it didn't happen, Islam does not call to that. And that is why Islam produced the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most forgiving human being ever. Produced the Sahaba, who were unmatched in their forgiveness of violations against them. The Tabi'een, Ridwanullahi alayhim, and so on and so forth. You know, I once heard, after the massacre, you know, when that monster entered the masjid in New Zealand in Christchurch and opened fire with his automatic weapon and killed over 50 of our brothers and sisters, there was, you know, a video clip circulating on the internet, going viral, you know, supposedly espousing, you know, the forgiveness of Islam. The preacher was saying, we must forgive the shooter. And we must love our enemies. Because if you do not forgive the shooter, you are not a true follower of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam who forgave his enemies. And this is absolutely unacceptable. You over-focused on the forgiveness of Islam at the expense of its justice and how it actually gets people to forgive. Of the ways it gets people to forgive others is by telling them, we're validating your grievances, you are absolutely right, it's up to you. Will you now be gracious and forgive? That is how you do it. I once met a doctor from, a professor from Al-Azhar University who was traveling the world on tour. His PhD was in comparative religion. And he said to me when in Europe, he met a man that had an amazing story of why he became Muslim. You know, in Europe, by the 80s, the death penalty was gone. You had no right to demand the death penalty for someone who killed a family member of yours. And so I met a man who said to me, the reason I became Muslim, I had read the Quran. And I was amazed by the Quran. The message of the Quran was so pure, so upright, so perfect. But there was one ayah in the Quran I couldn't get past. And that was when Allah Azza wa Jal said in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. And you have in this law of qisas, qisas is legal retribution, it's retaliation, it's eye for an eye. In stating eye for an eye in our Sharia, that is a means to life, to preservation of life. He said, doesn't make sense. That is more death, not more life. If the killer gets killed, that's two people getting killed instead of one. So that's death, not life. Of course, he did not realize he was a product of his environment. That's why he couldn't understand. Society has said we have moved on, we've progressed, we're bigger than killing people. He didn't realize this. And that is why he overlooked the other ayat in the Quran, which said, فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مَنْصُورًا. Let no one go on a rampage because we will get him his due right. The government will get you your due right. Meaning, eye for an eye. He couldn't see this. That without this in place, people will take the law into their own hands. The Shaykh said to me, until Allah Azza wa Jal blessed this man with an opportunity to understand the ayah, how? What undid, you know, all of the conditioning of society, someone actually killed his brother. He said, and I remember sitting there in the courtroom on the day of sentencing and said, wait, they're just going to like let him have like a 5-star stay in a prison? I'm going to kill him. If they don't kill him and the law is not going to help him get that demand, I'm going to kill him. And then if I kill him, it's going to create mayhem. More people will come after me, his families or so on and so forth. That's what's going to happen. He said, so I understood the ayah finally. Allah removed, you know, that blockage from me. And he embraced the Quran officially and wholeheartedly and became Muslim. So that is the whole idea that I want you to focus on. That you should forgive because Allah is putting it in your hands whether you want to forgive or not. Of course, that does not mean in your hands that you are allowed as a Muslim to be consumed by your vengeance. Never that. We should never be those people. You should demand justice. But if you let it take over your mind, you will be unjust to others because of the first one that wronged you. And also, it does not mean that if someone is not validating your grievance, someone is not apologizing, that you have to forgive them either. Just, I wanted to clarify that. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحْ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The one who pardons others, and by doing that, reforms people. So the person who really wants, who says, I'm sorry, right? Seeking forgiveness for them, or you forgiving them, letting it go, so to make them a better person, to allow them to grow out of their past, that is when, أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. His reward is with Allah. And he didn't even name his reward, meaning it's something special. So it's your right to demand justice, absolutely, but if it's going to be the greater good, I'm asking you to forgive. As the early generations ascended to that moral height and they forgave. And they have a very special reward that's so much better than the reward of vengeance. Because yes, you're allowed to have it, but what's it going to do? It's not going to bring your relative's life back, right? It's not going to make the pain disappear. It will satisfy you a bit. So get what's better and more lasting. That's how Islam did it. And the second tip after the break, inshallah ta'ala, أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. Before getting to the second reason to forgive, I just want to say one thing. You realizing that you don't have to forgive someone should also help you when other people choose not to forgive you right away. They don't have to. You know, even Ya'qub alayhi salam, when his sons did what they did, he said to them what? سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي. I will, in the future, seek forgiveness for you from my Lord. Why did he say in the future? Maybe he wanted to wait to see whether they were genuine or not. It's possible. The scholars have given that interpretation and others, but he didn't say, okay, fine. Because sometimes you are upset at someone because that someone refused to forgive you. So like we create this like double alienation. Wait a minute, he doesn't have to forgive you to begin with. Take it easy, give them their space, give them their time. That may be the very thing they need. It could take an hour, it could just take a week. Just let it go, don't burn the card forever. Here's the second reason why you should forgive others. Stop thinking about whether or not they deserve to be forgiven. Do you know why? Because we want to be forgiven by Allah Azza wa Jal, and we don't deserve to be forgiven. So let's forgive them for a chance at Allah forgiving us. It's that simple. Because think about your relationship with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If He were to take His bounty, all He spent on you, and measure it against your good deeds can never keep up. You are in debt. So how are you in debt to Him forever? Good deeds are not enough. Where is there room for bad deeds? And yet we still defy the one that we have not repaid yet. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We purely rely on His bounty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so same thing, you know, the Quran used this very method, this very reasoning with the best of us, with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq's daughter, Aisha radiallahu anha, was accused by Abdullah ibn Ubay, the head of the hypocrites, that she committed a haram act, she had a haram relationship, one of those who did what many righteous amongst us do. We fall into circulating news or just gossiping or repeating. And he said, you know, here people are saying, they're saying Aisha X, Y, and Z. Mistah radiallahu an, a relative of Abu Bakr, fell into it. He said it. He was of those who circulated it by repeating it. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq could not believe it. This is a relative of mine saying this about my daughter, despite the fact that this is a poor man from my family that I spend on. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the tradesman, every now and again, a chunk of money would come his way. He would portion a part of it to family. He would spend on this man, Mistah. And so he swore by Allah that he would never forgive him, never spend on him again. So how did Allah Azza wa Jal address this mindset? He addressed it with the ayah in Surah An-Nur. I'll read to you a part of it. Allah says, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ. The people of virtue and amongst you and wealth. That's Abu Bakr, right? He's reminding you, you're a man of virtue. Deal with him on your standards, not his. You're a person of virtue and you're a person that Allah gave wealth to. You should not be swearing about this. لَا يَأْتَلِ الْإِلَهُ وَالْحَلِفُ. You should not be swearing that they will no longer spend on the poor and the needy and the relatives. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says to him, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you wish that Allah would forgive you? Meaning forgive others so Allah may forgive you. Because their relationship is very similar. Also, Allah spends on us and Allah has so much bounty on us that we're in debt and we want that to keep coming and we want Him to forgive us. So forgive others. Forgive. Those are two reasons. Number one, you don't have to forgive. So be gracious and forgive. Number two, you need to be forgiven. So forgive in this month of Ramadan. You know, Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah says, and with this I close, that Ramadan is like Yusuf alayhi salam. There are 12 months in the year, you know, and the most beloved of them is Ramadan to Allah Azza wa Jal. The same way Ya'qub had 12 sons and the most beloved of them to him was Yusuf. And at the end of the story, despite all the mess that happened, for the dua of this one, Yusuf, Allah forgave the 11 or 10, the rest. Allah forgave the rest. And so you as well, when make dua in Ramadan, so Allah may forgive your entire year. But part of making dua is making your dua eligible. Send things forward. Qualify. Get good stamps on your application. Get good endorsements. Your greatest endorsement for Allah's forgiveness is to forgive others. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those who earn His forgiveness before the month is out and liberate us from the fire. Make our presence in His house in this month for us and not against us. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive our sick and have mercy on our deceased and spend on us and continue to spend on us despite our sins and have mercy on us despite our meager good deeds. May Allah forgive us what only He knows about us. Make what is remaining of our life better than what has passed. And the very best day of our life, the day that we meet Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma aghfir lil muslimina wal muslimat. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana. Wa israfana fi amrina. Wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna al qawm al kafirin. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana. Wa aslih dhata baynina. Wa ahdina subul as-salam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.